The Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer is on. This offer is for 1 week only and ends at midnight on Sunday. For allergies, pet smells, or any odor you need to get rid of, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier is the answer. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie. That's EdenPureDeals.com, discount code Howie. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I am thrilled to be joined with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. Toby, it's been a really long time since I got to talk to you. Welcome back to the show.
It has. I missed you, Grace, and welcome back.
Now, Toby, there is a story that I wanted to ask you about a couple weeks ago. I was not here for 2A Tuesdays. It involves Alec Baldwin. Obviously, he's back in the news after he was charged with involuntary manslaughter. I think it was actually two charges. And the reason I bring this up is because another Hollywood actor, Mickey Rourke, went on to defend Alec Baldwin against these charges and say, you know, this is ridiculous. And his real point was, actors don't know anything about guns, so he shouldn't be held responsible. And I'm paraphrasing, but everyone can read it for yourselves. It's everywhere. It's on New York Post, Fox. He's really saying actors don't know anything about guns. They should not be liable for when something goes wrong. And my immediate thought, Toby, and I'd be curious if you would agree with this, is for people who don't know anything about guns, when something goes wrong, they certainly seem to be very knowledgeable on the topic when they are pushing gun control.
Right. Yeah, that's always the case. And, you know, people who make a career, Hollywood is full of hypocrites, as we know. And these people make a career out of exploiting and glamorizing violence on the big screen and often with use of guns. And then they want to lecture us, and while they go home to their gated communities with their armed security details. And the greatest example of this was when Michael Moore's bodyguard was arrested at the airport. And guess what? He was armed. But, you know, it's these guys want rules for them and rules for you. The thing I will say about the Alec Baldwin, and here's a guy who I don't really like. I have found his political finger wagging to be distasteful for decades. But I kind of agree with Mickey Rourke in one regard, and that is when you're shooting a scene for a movie, it isn't the actor's fault. And the problem with that in this case is Alec Baldwin was the producer. So the buck stops with the top of the food chain. You know, when something goes bad in battle, it's the generals, it's the commanders, it's the officer's fault. He hired this particular armorer for this film set, and there was many safety violations prior to this that they should not have been in this job. They had proven already that they were incompetent, but he chose to elect to go on using this particular armorer, and they handed him a loaded gun. And I get it that you don't have time to check every gun, make sure it's clear before every scene, because you're just going to slow down production. But the fact of the matter is the buck still stops with Alec Baldwin because he's the man in charge.
It's such a good point. You know, and I never really thought about it, but you're right. I mean, the fish rots from the head. So even if you take Mickey Rourke and you take his, I want to read you one of the lines. He says, most actors don't know anything about guns, especially if they didn't grow up around them. Even if you take that as an excuse, he's still responsible, because I don't know if they were cutting corners or getting cheap with who they were hiring, but people did not feel safe on this set. And you know what, Toby? The women on The View, and I know, I can feel Toby's eyes rolling into the back of his head right when I said that, but the women on The View were discussing this, and Whoopi Goldberg was talking about why she doesn't think actors should have to, because now they're talking about training these actors before they handle guns, and she was saying she didn't think it was the actor's responsibility. It's amazing how, again, people who want to lecture people like Toby on this and give Toby and other lawful gun owners no grace in any situation, they can't even feign the slightest curiosity about learning what they're protesting or, you know, standing against. They can't even pretend they're going to do a little bit of research here. They have no desire to learn anything about your world, Toby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I think it is a good idea that actors would be trained in the proper and safe use of it. I don't think it would have prevented this situation because, again, movie production is an expensive business and they hire these people for the job. The fact of the matter is, the day before they were out target shooting with these guns, and it proves the incompetence of the person in charge of these guns that they ended up on the set the next day loaded. That's ridiculous. It should have never happened, you know, in a million years. That even a basic NRA firearms instructor in that position would not have allowed that to happen. And so the bottom line is, you know, the people who should be in charge of the guns on movie sets need to be highly trained individuals, highly confident, highly, you know, motivated and vigilant, and they need to know exactly what it is all about. And this happens from time to time on movie sets. We haven't seen it a lot, but thankfully, but it does happen. And, you know, they love to lecture us, like you said, and blame us whenever something goes wrong with a gun, the person who's doing everything right on a day-to-day basis and is very vigilant. And they can't have their cake and eat it, too. That's one thing they can't have. And I say they should have to do movies with fake guns. I don't know. If they're not going to get trained in the competent use of them, give them rubber guns and let CGI take over. I don't know. I think it would be a major disservice to the industry, but...
You know what's interesting, Toby, is when you were talking about Alec Baldwin and you were able to say, listen, I disagree with his politics, but as the actor, you know, if we take out the producer part, as the actor, it's not his fault. But the problem is, obviously, it goes back to him being a producer. But when you were saying that part of it, like, I don't blame him as the actor, I thought it's crazy because you're able to separate your politics and how you feel about this guy with the truth of the matter. And I just have to tell you, Alec Baldwin would never do you that same service. He would never, ever be that generous if you were in trouble or if you were on the chopping block. So I think it's admirable that you're able to kind of separate these things and say, listen, I don't like this guy, but this is a bigger problem. Before we move on, people are going to get mad at me. We already have people on the lines. We're going to get to all your calls, I promise. But I have to be selfish here. I haven't talked to Toby in like 3 weeks. The video that came out of Governor Gavin Newsom, obviously in our hearts break in California, they were going through several mass shootings over the last couple of weeks, really tragic. And Governor Gavin Newsom was doing an interview and he's walking down a street in California, like you said, armed security guards everywhere. And he told the interviewer that the Second Amendment is a suicide pact. Now, here's what drives me crazy. The interview, I think it was Nora O'Donnell, the interviewer pushes back on that and says, well, you know, a lot of people in this country are fans of the Second Amendment. They own guns. I don't know exactly how she phrased it. And then he said, well, yes, he doesn't have a problem with people who legally own guns and are responsible gun owners. My question for you, Toby, is when I hear stuff like that from politicians, I go so crazy because I think you don't, though. You don't respect lawful gun owners. And you're just saying this so when you inevitably run for president, you're not the guy who said he wants to get rid of the Second Amendment because you know that's going to be a losing issue. I think it would be better if people who want to abolish the Second Amendment were just honest about it. Do you agree?
Oh, 100%. I wish they would sign a pact that says we are signing on. And intellectually, we're going to be honest with every voter out there. And we're going to sign on that we want to abolish the Second Amendment. They should just come out and do it because that is exactly what they're after. You can see it with Maura Healey's words. She said it last January. She said that, you know, so much has been done already. We're a high, you know, gun-controlled state, but more work needs to happen. What they're inferring is that work that needs to happen is guns need to be banned from private ownership. They don't care about the criminal element that's actually committing these gun crimes or crimes in general with firearms or cars or bats, because those people are allowed to continue to walk the street. And you look at the guy in Chicago that shot the subway, he had been arrested 34 times on felonies, 4 times on gun convictions in the last few years, and yet he's out on the street. That shouldn't happen. And the thing that they always are disingenuous about is you can take the number of people that die in gun-related deaths a year, which is about 30,000. It's And that includes everything from suicide, which is about half that number, to police-involved shootings, to defensive-involved shootings, and crime. So when you get down to the crime number, it's about 8 to 9, maybe 10,000 people a year are killed in gun-related crime. But they don't tell you the other side of the coin, where there's 1.5 to 2 million people a year that actually defend themselves against violent crime with a firearm. That tips the scales way out of their favor, and they have no intellectual argument at that point when you can say, all right, we have 8 to 9,000 people that are victims of gun-related crime, but yet we have 1.5 to 2, in some estimates, 2.5 million people a year are involved in an event that prevents them from becoming the victim of a violent crime because they are armed most of the time without even firing a shot.
It's so interesting, Toby. We love hearing from you. And I promise the listeners, when we come back from this break, I am done. I am shutting myself off. I will have no more questions for Toby. But I love what you had to say, because I think the same thing about Gavin Newsom. I think in one breath you're saying the Second Amendment is a suicide pact. In the other breath you're saying I respect people who are legal gun owners and responsible gun owners. And it makes my mind want to explode, because I'm like, you can't have it both ways. You can't say one thing and then turn around and say the other. Both of those things do not add up. It's you either respect the Second Amendment or you don't. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Toby. We're going to take your calls. So stay on the lines. Do not go anywhere. We're going right to your calls after the break. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Massachusetts is opening sports betting today. And the Boston Globe says the opening ceremonies are ready to go. And that is actually what our poll question has to do with. Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning. J.J. Manning Auctioneers, whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Now that sports betting is legal in Massachusetts, do you plan to place any bets? Yes, no, or I've been placing bets this whole time, even while it wasn't legal.
I'm going to say yes, if it's more accessible on my mobile phone. I'm not going to put in anything over $20, but I might bet just to be a little interested in the Super Bowl or some of these games. Toby, what say you?
I will not be betting, Grace. I am not a guy who likes to lose money. In fact, when I went to Vegas last week at SHOT Show, I usually earmark a crisp $20 bill for the tables or the roulettes or something while I'm there. And I didn't even do that this time. So, I saw a billboard once in New York City and it made a lot of sense. Someone is going to win the lottery tonight. It just won't be you. And that's how I feel about betting in general.
Yeah, and then there's me, and I'm always saying, well, why won't it be me? Maybe it could be me. I'll just get a couple more tickets. No, I agree with you, Toby. It's a good point. What are the results, Jared?
80% of the audience says no. 10% each for yes, and I've been placing bets this whole time, even while it wasn't legal.
I think there's a lot more people in the 10% of placing bets this whole time. And they just and it's smart. It's smart not to leave a track, so I don't blame you guys. But I don't think that's an accurate number.
And if you want to vote in today's poll question, you can go to gracecurlyshow.com.
All right, Steve is up next with Toby Leary. He's been on the line a long time. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Grace, how are you? Steve is Flag Guy, by the way.
Oh, Steve the Flag Guy. I love all the flags you make, Steve. You do a wonderful job. What's your question for Toby?
So, Brandon Lee, I don't know if you followed the Brandon Lee case from years ago and what happened to him. Well, what happened to him is no one was charged in his case because they said there was too many people involved. Like, each person did a little bit. Not one person did enough to charge that one person. So I'm wondering if something like that is going to happen with Alec Baldwin. Because Brandon Lee, I know it's a little different situation. I don't know if you followed it. What they did with the bullet, where they removed it, they removed the gunpowder, then they put it back in, they put in the tip, and then when they fired the primer, the lead part got stuck in the gun, and then they put in a full blank later, and ended up shooting him with a real bullet, you know. But I'm surprised that they don't use, like, camera angles and not directly point the gun at somebody. But, you know, with the camera angle, it looks like it's pointed at them. Why they didn't change that stuff, I have no idea.
Right. Yeah, there seems like there's a lot of different things they could do with those camera angles, like you said. But I think that Brandon Lee shooting changed the way that the Hollywood dealt with firearms. That was a big deal back then, and they really took it to the next level after that. I remember seeing a documentary on it, and the armorer who, you know, painstakingly went through and, like, every round was accounted for and everything else. But even then, they put extra checks and balances in at the end of that movie. But we were just talking off on the break that, you know, you look at John Wick or The Matrix, other gun movies where there's tons of shooting involved, and people don't get killed. So they know how to do it in a safe and responsible way, and they hire competent people to do it. And also, they train actors now in certain ways, in certain places, in legit gun training facilities, not just, you know, on set. So that's helpful, I think, to the overall safety of those movie sets. But, yeah, that Brandon Lee one was kind of the first one I remembered that really opened our eyes to that type of potential in on movie sets.
And you know what, Toby, well, when you think about Whoopi Goldberg and other people saying, you know, it's not our responsibility or we don't need to learn this, the safety is obviously the number one thing. And your heart breaks for this poor woman, Helena Hutchins, and her family. But it's also an element of the acting. Like, a lot of people watch movies, and if you know how to use a gun, I'm not one of these people who's very critical of it, but I know Toby's one of these people. I know my husband's one of these people where you watch a lot of these movies and you go, what are they doing? They've never held a gun. It kind of takes you out of it. And for a bunch of people in Hollywood who claim to want to be as, you know, real to the role as possible, it seems a little lazy to me not to learn how to operate a gun.
Right. Yeah. The whole point is minimizing risk as well. You know, like, we all take calculated risks. And I mentioned to a news reporter yesterday for WXDK down on the Cape that he was asking me about, you know, the same type of things. And I said, look, you know, we all take calculated risks. You have more of a chance, you're more likely to die in an automobile than by a firearm in America. But the politicians want to keep the narrative out there that we're in this, like, epidemic of gun violence where there's hails of bullets going by your head every day, even though that's not the case. You're more likely to die from, you know, medical malpractice than firearms. But yet it's not blazed across the evening news or talked about, you know, and beat across the airwaves every single day. And so we all take calculated risks. We all got in our car and drove to work, even though we know there's a great risk of, you know, potentially getting in an accident or even losing our life. But we do that. It's an acceptable level of risk that we're all willing to take. How do we minimize that risk? That's where the failure happened on the Rust set. Personally, that's where I feel.
All right. We still have plenty of time for you to get in lines. It's 844-500-4242. For the people who are on there right now, just wait one more break and we'll get to your calls because I want to have Toby, I want him to have enough time to answer these fully. Toby, really quick though, we got 15 seconds. 339 says, please ask Toby, what is a good shoulder holster for a SIG P326XL?
I like the, I think he means the 365XL. I would look at the Miami, they call it the Miami Classic by Galco. That's one I have personal experience with. I used to carry that a lot, and it works pretty good. They still make it. It's, you know, 1987 era, but they still make them, and they're very good quality.
All right. Thank you very much, Toby. When we come back, he's got plenty of time for all your questions. It's 844-500-4242. Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. More when we come back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Grace Curley Show. It's Tuesday, and it's in the 2 o'clock hour, and that means we are talking to Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis, and he can answer all of your gun questions, whether it's about the Second Amendment, licensing, ammo, a specific kind of gun, a specific kind of holster. I don't know what's happening to me right now. Toby can answer all of it. So let's go to Rick, who's been on the line for a long time. Go ahead, Rick.
Hi, Gray. I just made a comment, and the first rule in gun safety is you make sure the gun is safe. It doesn't matter if you're an actor or producer. Any major hunter safety course is show me the gun is safe, whether it's a prop or has blanks in it.
Yeah, Toby, you want to respond to that? I mean, I don't think you'd disagree.
Well, I disagree in the regard to the what I said earlier about the actor's job. Like, you know, again, movie sets or production companies have people in place to do that. And if every time an actor's handed a gun with cameras there and actors in place and lights on and a scene about to unfold and they had to take it and perform a safety check to the gun and now it's unloaded or they flip around out of the thing, you know, that type of thing, I would say maybe they could make an adjustment if they're told the gun is cold or it's not live. Then maybe they should be able to perform a quick safety check if they know how. But I'm just saying that the industry isn't going to do that when there's people, union positions and people in place and entire companies hired to be the armorers and to be the gun handlers for movie sets. It's not practical to give a gun to, say, you know, somebody who, like Whoopi Goldberg, who's saying it's not her job. So all of a sudden she's in a scene in a movie where she's got to hold a gun or take, she doesn't even know how to perform a safety check. And I agree with what Rick is saying as it pertains to gun ownership. Like when you're handed a gun, you should always perform a safety check on it. You should assume it's loaded unless you confirm and let someone else confirm it isn't. That's the number one rule of gun safety in my mind is treat every gun as if it's loaded, you know. Give the gun the respect that it's due. I'm not saying there should be a different set of rules for actors, but there is a different set of rules for actors, and there's people in place to make sure that that doesn't happen. Again, Alec Baldwin was the head of the snake as far as the producer of the company, and so, you know, I'm not making excuses for him, but we can all sit there and wag the finger at him for what he did personally with the gun. However, I have a problem with what he did personally with the hiring of and keeping on set a company or a person who is in charge of guns that was obviously incompetent.
And I'm sure Alec Baldwin didn't appreciate George Clooney coming out and saying that when he's in a movie with a gun, he does do a safety check every time. And, you know, there are actors, I think, who would do that. And that doesn't look good for Alec Baldwin either when people are kind of going above and beyond for the safety of the crew. But at the same time, Toby, as we talked about, a lot more is going to come out in this trial. I think there's still a lot of questions about how this even occurred, why he was pointing it in the way that he was. And there's going to be a lot of footage from this. There's going to be a lot of, you know, cross-examination. So we'll have more info on it as time goes on. Let's go to Harry. Harry, you're up next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Harry. See, I was worried. Harry was on the line so long, I thought he might not be there anymore. Harry, we'll come back to you. We'll give him a second to get back on there. Dave, you're up next. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi, Toby. I saw an ad for a Smith & Wesson CSX 9mm with a steel frame, and I was wondering if that's mass compliant and if you have one on the wall to try.
It is. I have one on our rental wall, and I have one in the case for sale. Surprisingly, I had one all weekend at the Marlboro Gun Show. We did a first gun show in like 6 or 7 years, and it survived the weekend. So we have it back in the case here. It's a really cool single-action pistol that is a 10-round capacity, and it's 9mm. It's an excellent size. It's along the lines of like the Springfield Hellcat or the 365 as far as size and capacity is concerned, but it does not have... it's not striker fired, so if you like single action guns like a 1911 style gun, it has a thumb safety and a hammer. So it's a really cool gun. I think Smith knocked it out of the park with it. We have them, and they also have a $75 mail-in rebate right now until April, so you can get $75 back from Smith & Wesson on it.
All right, thank you, Dave. Paul, you're up next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Paul.
Yes, hi, Toby. I have a question. I'm interested in probably a 9mm rifle. Are they accurate at any distance? Are they worth it?
Yeah, no, I think they're awesome. I love 9mm rifles and pistol caliber carbines in general. I think they're accurate out to, you know, 7,500 yards, whatever you'd need it to be accurate for. They're great for home defense, where you're most likely to need a gun out to, you know, maybe 30 or 40 feet tops. But you can certainly use them out to at the range and shoot very accurately with them. We've seen them, you know, shoot 2 or 3 inch groups at 100 yards. So they're plenty accurate for whatever you're doing out to 100 or 200 yards distance. But I would say they lose some effectiveness out at 200 or 300 yards, and a lot harder to hit the target with the amount of bullet drop in them. But they're still a lot of fun to shoot, cheap and cheerful, and they are there's a lot of different brands and a lot of fun you can have at the range with them, and a lot cheaper, you know, per unit cost or per round cost to shoot than some of the larger centerfire calibers. So good luck with that, Paul. Hopefully you find a nice 9mm rifle.
Now, Toby, a lot of the questions we get on this show for you are about certain kinds of guns, and I think this is a part of the reason why people like Cape Gunworks, is because you can go in, you can talk to people there, they're not going to judge you, it's not like a snobbery thing. Sometimes you go into places where it's really niche like this, and people give you kind of the stink eye if you're a newcomer, and you don't get that vibe at all at Cape Gunworks.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Grace. That is something we've worked very hard on. And, you know, we understand that gun stores have a high barrier to entry, but that doesn't make us exempt from offering good customer service. If, you know, the only restaurant in town only served Kraft macaroni and cheese, you'd be kind of stuck eating it. But once there's 3 or 4 restaurants in town, now they have to get creative and start to, you know, tend to people's palate. And that's kind of where we fit in, I think, in the gun world, is we've tried to treat ourselves as if we're not special, we're not different than any other type of business out there. We still have to win in the hearts and minds of consumers. We have to win in the hearts and minds of our customers and be able to offer good customer service. And we understand that not everyone who comes into the gun store is a gun expert. And that's okay. Like, I don't care if you've never fired a gun. I don't care if you don't even know which end of the barrel it comes out of. That's what we do, and we'll help you get there. We're going to enlarge the tent and welcome more people. That'll preserve our Second Amendment for a lifetime to come. And we want our grandkids to be able to own and shoot guns and have their rights restored so they can actually have more freedom than we have now. And the only way we do that is by winning hearts and minds and showing people a good, responsible path to firearms ownership.
Yeah, Toby, talk a little bit more about expanding this tent, because I think that, you know, based off studies I've read, and I know that you do interviews about this all the time, it would appear that more minorities are interested in owning guns, more females are interested in this, and are you seeing that at Cape Gunworks in your day-to-day life?
Yeah, absolutely. Last week on our show Rapid Fire, we had on the president of NAGA, which is the National African American Gun Rights Organization, and they have a chapter here in Boston where we reached out to them. We're going to host an event down at our range for them. We also have a huge community of women that come in on a weekly basis with their friends and shoot on the range. And the thing I love about women is it's the fastest, you know, segment of society, especially minority women, and they don't just come in and buy a gun and then like put it in the safe. They want to take a class. They want to know all about it. They want to, you know, take multiple lessons and privates and do group classes, and they get better and they learn about the gear. They learn how to shoot it. They adapt to the whole lifestyle of firearms ownership, not just, you know, another gun for the collection. Like, and I say that as a, self-deprecating humor, because I'm one of those guys that have bought guns, put them in the safe, and never looked at them again. So, you know, but women aren't like that. And in some cases, they're very social creatures, and they love to shoot with their friends, and they come together, and it's almost a social outing. So it's not even necessarily always like defensively minded and training and, you know, new piece of gear and holster. It's just a time to get out with the girls as if they were going to a little wine tasting or, you know, go on a shopping trip or whatever. It's been awesome to witness. It's been great to support, and that is welcoming more and more people. And that ultimately turns into families getting involved in firearms, not just, you know, a woman, if you will, because a lot of them are the main consumer-driven decision maker for the family. And next thing you know, one of the greatest things I've seen is couples coming in pushing baby strollers with their kids, and you know, it's awesome to see, and I think it's the future of the Second Amendment. Maura Healey thinks it's something that is an archaic, amendment to the Constitution. And she even said that she agrees with Justice John Paul Stevens that the Second Amendment is a relic of the 18th century. Well, I totally disagree. I think it empowers women. It empowers people who would be at a severe disadvantage to people who want to impose their will on them in a violent way. And thank God that our founders acknowledged it in the Constitution and were so smart enough to write it down. A lot of the people nowadays don't know what shall not be infringed means, but we're working on that. So continuing to expand the tent.
Very eloquently said, as always, Toby. Can you tell people where they can find you, where they can visit you, and where they can listen to you?
Yeah, we are down on Cape Cod. We're in Hyannis on Airport Road, and we have a state-of-the-art facility. It's 20,000 square feet. We have a big pro shop, a big classroom, and a 15-lane indoor shooting range where you can shoot pistol, rifle, and shotgun. We have lots of classes. We have a new set of classes every Monday night, pistol 1, 2, 3, and 4. And in 1 month, you can literally take a Monday night class that'll get you from never having shot a gun all the way to defensive mindset around a firearm, working well with how your body responds under stress and drawing your gun from a holster. So there's a very quick path to getting you in on the right track to firearms ownership and concealed carry. And we're also on the air every week with our own radio show called Rapid Fire. And you can get that at the podcast. If you go to rapidfireradio.us or Cape Gunworks, you can get a link to it on either place. You can also sign up to be alerted when we go live. Today we're doing it from 4 to 6 instead of Wednesday because I'll be traveling. And that airs on the weekends, but you can always listen to it as a podcast. And, of course, I love being on the Grace Curley Show. That's like one of the highlights of our week. So we're glad to be here each and every week and look forward to being with you next week.
Thank you so much, Toby. We love having you on, and everybody always says the same thing. That gun guy is really good. I really like listening to that gun guy. Toby Leary, thanks for joining us. We will be right back with the Captain Howard Lawrence Carr. And as you know, today is a big day, not just for Republicans, but especially for Howie. The vote for chair of the state GOP is today, and Howie's got a column up at HowieCarshow.com. Now, Joe Battenfeld has a column up at the Boston Herald, and these two columns, they're butting heads, and I want to kind of put them both together here and have Howie express why he feels that it's time for Jim Lyons to go, and I'll read you some quotes here from Battenfeld, and then you guys can decide what you think. Howie Carr, coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
No matter what happens, people will be leaving the party, and there's little that a new GOP chair can do to elect conservative Republicans. That's from Joe Battenfeld from the Boston Herald. Someone who's hoping that that take is the wrong take is Howie Carr, who also has several columns up at the Boston Herald, HowieCarshow.com. You can check out his take on this. But Howie, how do you respond to that mentality of, listen, nothing's really going to change either way?
Well, I mean, the first thing you got to do is stop the bleeding, you know? I mean, that's the important thing. And by the way, he's that column was really a silly effort today. He portrayed Cruz, a Cruz guy by the name of Jim Jones Lyons, as the Trump guy. He fought Trump tooth and nail. I put up all the pictures. You can see him at Howie Carr Show. We tweeted him out, all the pictures of him sucking up to Cruz. And he's Amy Carnevale, who he's running against. She was the Trump delegate to the convention in Cleveland. She's the one who went out the weekend after Access Hollywood right before the election and defended Trump on cable TV. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. That was a very poorly researched, poorly written column.
Now, Howie, a lot of people, they hear the vote for the chair of the state GOP, and, you know, it's not something that every single time people are really focused on.
No, I never have focused on it.
How does this go down, though? Like, how does this go down as an election? Give people kind of the rundown of when we can expect the results.
starts around 5:30, and they've I think Jim Jones Lyons and his master Rick Green know they don't have the vote, so they were going to try to ram through another vote for themselves, but they know they don't have the votes to do that, so they're just going to move directly to the election, and then that you need a majority. So with any luck, it could be over by 7:30 or 8 o'clock. But okay. You know, who knows what's going to happen.
So probably not while you're still on the air. We're probably going to get it a little after.
No. I very much doubt it'll be while I'm on the air.
All right. Well, Howie's going to have more of this on his show. And Howie, something else I know you're going to want to talk about is that Joe Biden is finally putting an end to the COVID-19 emergency. You know as well as I do that he said it was over in September. Now he's trying to beat Republicans to the punch before they can end this thing. Is COVID-19, is it over? Or is this just another
Biden?
Bigger
question, it's going to be a big part of my show today, Grace. I think the bigger question is how big of a disaster has this thing been? And, you know, I'm going to make that the poll question. Is this a bigger disaster for America than the Great Depression or the Civil War or the War on Poverty? I think it is myself. I think it's just been a total disaster across the board. You know, there were positive signs. There were positive things in every, not the war on poverty, but there were, you know, the Great Depression kind of toughened the country up for World War II, the Civil War, you know, freed the slaves. What good has come out of the COVID scam? None that I can see.
Yeah. And you know what, Howie, just to your point, I think society was already dealing with kind of a decline at the point where COVID started. And I just think the mental health effects, especially on the younger generations, it just really, I mean, it multiplied it by 10. Like everything, I don't think we even know to this point just how bad the long-term effects of this are going to be.
No, how about the education of a generation of young people was destroyed? The work ethic of tens of millions of people was destroyed forever. I mean, that, you know, welfare programs always destroyed the work ethics. I used to see it at City Hall in Boston back in the late 70s. You know, people get a hack job and they don't do anything. But that was like small segments of the population. Now this was literally tens of millions of people aren't ever going to go back to real jobs again.
And there's still headlines every single day, Howie. I don't send them to you at this point because I don't want to bombard your inbox. But every single day there's headlines of a new pandemic fraud being figured out, a new
person.
Yeah,
that's what I did. Yeah, I did that. That's my column for tomorrow in the Herald, actually. You know, tomorrow they're starting the hearings in the House. And I said, I hope they got a lot of time for these hearings. You know, I hope they got decades because that's how long it's going to take. $4.1 trillion spent. How much do you think of that was waste, fraud, and abuse? I'm
going
to guess at least half.
And I think that's kind of lowballing it, Howie. We have that column to look forward to. And, of course, you've got 4 hours of Howie coming up right after this break. Do not go anywhere. Big day in Massachusetts. And Howie's got all the news for you when he comes on. We'll see you tomorrow.